Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, January the 11th, Pope Francis celebrates the first special general audience for the Jubilee year. Sister Dorothy Stang becomes the first American woman to be included in a memorial for modern martyrs. But first, the Pope expresses closeness to the victims of devastating fires in the US city of Los Angeles. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. As fires rage in the US city of Los Angeles, California, Pope Francis has sent a telegram to the local archbishop stressing his spiritual closeness to the victims. The Pope also prayed for relief efforts and emergency services personnel, as Joseph Tulloch reports.
Pope Francis has expressed his deep sadness over the loss of life and widespread destruction caused by the recent fires near the city of Los Angeles in the United States. In a telegram sent to the local Archbishop Jose Gomez, the Pope stressed his spiritual closeness to the communities affected by the tragedy and entrusted the souls of the deceased to the loving mercy of Almighty God. The message, which was signed by Holy See Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin, added that the Pope sends heartfelt condolences to those mourning, as well as prayers for relief efforts and emergency service personnel. Fires raging in the Los Angeles area have reduced some 12,000 structures to ash and rubble. They've also killed at least 11 people and displaced thousands of others. The blazes began on Tuesday, powered by gusts from the Santa Ana winds. These winds died down on Thursday, but forecasters have warned that they could pick back up later this weekend. An estimate from AccuWeather, a private firm that provides weather data, estimated that the financial impact of the damages stands somewhere in the region of $135 to $150 billion. Altogether, the fires have consumed about 56 square miles, or 142 square kilometres. That's an area larger than San Francisco. Among the structures destroyed were a mosque, a synagogue, a Catholic parish, and half a dozen Protestant churches. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
Meanwhile, the Archbishop of Los Angeles this week presided over a celebration held in the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels, dedicated to those affected by the wildfires. Archbishop Jose Gomez called on the faithful to be the instrument through which God shows his love, compassion and care for those who are suffering.
It's a difficult and challenging days for our city and our country and our county and our local church. As we pray, the wildfires keep burning around us, and as we know, the damage continues to be devastating. Thousands of our neighbors have lost everything. Their homes and livelihoods, their parishes and schools, and their communities. Why does God let evil things happen? Why does He allow natural disasters like wildfires and hurricanes and earthquakes and floods? We don't know why these disasters happen, but we do know that our Father holds this world and each of our lives in His loving hands. And we do know that everything He does out of love for us and for our salvation. It is not an easy answer, but it is the truth. Because God has loved us first, we can also love as we have been loved. And we can love as He has loved us. So, my dear brothers and sisters, love is what is asked from us in this moment, in this challenging moment. As St. John tells us today, whoever loves God must also love his brother. In this moment, God is calling each of us to be instruments through which He shows His love and compassion and care to those who are suffering. We must be the ones who bring comfort to our neighbors in this time of disaster. And we must be the ones also who stand by their side and help them to rebuild and go forward with courage and faith and hope in God. Let us pray for them. Let us also pray for our firefighters and first responders. Let us feel that first the love of God for each one of us and then the call to love our brothers and sisters who are suffering in a very special way during this time.
And that was Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles speaking at a service on Thursday evening dedicated to those suffering from the wildfires. At least 32 Palestinians have been killed and 193 injured in Israeli attacks across Gaza in the past 48 hours. according to the enclave's health ministry. The Gaza municipality, meanwhile, said that 75% of water wells and more than 100,000 linear metres of water networks have been damaged due to Israeli attacks. The municipality reported it is facing extreme difficulty in delivering water to displaced people due to the destruction of water and sewage networks. It's calling on the international community to urgently intervene and provide the necessary equipment so that lives can be saved. And in Syria, authorities said they have foiled an attempt by ISIS fighters to blow up a Shia shrine in a Damascus suburb. The state news agency added that several people have been arrested. Meanwhile, 1 month from the fall of the Assad regime, citizens continue to express high hopes for a democratic and inclusive future in the country. Speaking to UN News, UN Deputy Special Envoy for Syria, Najat Rukhdi, pointed to some of the main challenges ahead for Syria's new leaders.
I think the biggest challenge today is to make sure that the political transition is done the way that it is actually making all the Syrians feeling that they are safe, feeling that they are all part of it, and feeling that this is indeed a very inclusive process. And the first testing case will be definitely the national dialogue. I mean, that is really the first very important step in making sure that this transition is indeed done the proper way and is done the way that it is laying the ground to a political government and political decisions, which indeed at the end will ensure a stable, prosperous, inclusive Syria for all Syrians. The second challenge is to make sure that whoever is going to be in charge of revising the constitution or writing the new constitution is going to emanate from all parts and components of the Syrian society, no matter who they are and regardless of their background. Women's voices need to be heard. Not because only this is fair, but because Syria needs every single citizen to help contribute to its rebuilding and to its transition.
And that was UN Deputy Special Envoy for Syria, Najat Rukhdi, speaking there to UN News. In South Korea, thousands of people have continued to gather for rival protests. The rallies in Seoul come as investigators prepare another attempt to arrest suspended President Yoon Suk-yeol over his short-lived martial law decree amid warnings against potential bloodshed. Protesters both for and against Yoon gathered in sub-zero conditions along major roads in the centre of the country's capital on Saturday, either demanding his arrest or calling for his impeachment to be declared invalid. Sister Dorothy Stang was a member of the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur, an Ohio native. She went to Brazil as a missionary in 1966 and spent the rest of her life fighting for the rights of poor settlers and the protection of the rainforest. 20 years ago, next month, she was murdered for her work. Following a ceremony last night at the Basilica of St. Bartholomew on the island in Rome, she became the first American woman to be included in a memorial for modern martyrs. Dr. Laurie Johnston, Professor of Theology at Emmanuel College in Boston, explains Sister Dorothy's legacy 2 decades after her death.
With this new jubilee year of 2025, Pope Francis has re-established the commission for the new martyrs, modeled on the one that Pope John Paul II established in the Jubilee of 2000. So this commission is collecting stories of new martyrs, and Sister Dorothy Stang is one of the most important stories for them. The community of Santo Egidio has been, for many years now, taking care of San Bartolomeo Sull'Isola, the St. Bartholomew on the island, where the sanctuary of the new martyrs is located. So the word martyr really means a witness, someone who gives testimony. And in this case, Sister Dorothy is a witness both to the terrible violence that so many victims are experiencing in the rainforest and elsewhere, who are suffering from both human violence and also the violence of climate change and its effects. She's a testimony to what people are suffering in many places around the world. And her story can bring all of the other victims to our attention. But she's also giving testimony that there is another way to live, that it is possible to create communities where humans are living in harmony with the environment, where they're able to support themselves on the land, but in a way that respects the environment, that does not just use up the local resources until they are completely gone. So a vision of Christian vocation that is in harmony with all of God's creation, and that shows real love for the gifts of creation that we've all been given to take care of.
And that was Dr. Laurie Johnston speaking there to Vatican Radio about Sister Dorothy Stang's legacy. And finally, Pope Francis on Saturday held his first fortnightly Jubilee audience, which will integrate the traditional Wednesday catechetical sessions throughout the Holy Year with a focus on hope. Addressing nearly 8,000 pilgrims in the Paul VI Hall, the Pope highlighted the Jubilee as a time for a new beginning, rooted in the transformative power of God's kingdom, drawing on the example of John the Baptist, a great prophet of hope. Lisa Zingarini reports.
At his first Jubilee audience on Saturday, Pope Francis framed the Jubilee as an invitation to begin again. These words resonated throughout his catechesis, serving as both a call to action and a reminder of the Jubilee's essence, the opportunity for everyone to start anew from God, our ultimate source of hope.
Il Giubileo è un nuovo inizio, la possibilità per tutti di ripartire da Dio.
Pope Francis centered his reflection on John the Baptist, whom he described as a great prophet of hope. John's mission, marked by his call for repentance and renewal, symbolized by crossing the River Jordan, mirrors the pilgrimage of Christians crossing the Holy Door during the Jubilee. This act, Pope Francis explained, represents a new beginning. Hope, as the Pope elaborated, is not merely a habit or a character trait. It is a gift of God that spurs Christians to start again the journey of life.
La speranza non dipende da noi, ma dal regno di Dio.
It does not depend on us, but on the kingdom of God, where even the least become great, the Pope said. Pope Francis also addressed the struggles of faith, drawing on John the Baptist's own moments of doubt during his imprisonment. These doubts, the Pope noted, resonate with the challenges faced by Christians today, navigating a world where many Herods still oppose the kingdom of God. Yet, he stressed, the gospel provides an antidote to this despair through its transformative teachings, particularly the Beatitudes. Pope Francis concluded the catechesis with a call to embrace hope and renewal through service and fraternity, particularly towards the least, and through responsibility for our wounded and abused common home. This, he said, is the essence of the Jubilee.
Questo è il nostro Giubileo, e noi dobbiamo... Grazie.
I am Lisa Zingarini.
That's all for this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at the same time for more. My thanks go to Alberto Giovannetti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.